side of the pond. He is DJ Schweitzer. I am Jeremy Lance. Our clubs did not play today, but for some reason, we're both kind of just repping it.
Over here. That's right. You're repping an awesome...
How do you like this thing, man?
I like it a lot.
My buddy Ahmad got this for me.
Yeah.
While he was visiting family in London over the holidays.
For those of you who can't see it, which is everyone, Jeremy's sporting a lovely N'Golo Kante shirt.
Yeah.
It literally says Kante.
Giant number 7, giant letters, and just a giant picture of him.
Just layered over top of the 7.
Remember, like, back in, like, the 90s, like, those, like, NBA shirts and stuff like that? Oh, yeah. Where it was just, like, just these giant, like, pictures and graphics of, like, whatever the player was.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Like, I was all about those. So, like, so to see, like, kind of a shirt that's kind of hearkening back to that.
To me, a little bit feels like you're wearing a jersey backwards, and then someone, like, glued a picture over top of him.
Like, I feel like a giant N'Golo Kante all over my chest right now is like only like 2 steps away from like one of those like wolf t-shirts.
Oh yeah, it's pretty close. If there were like 3 N'Golo Kantes layered over top of one another, coming soon to the wrong side of the pond, or
like
t-shirt shop.
Like an N'Golo Kante here, like how it normally is, and then like just his head like looking off.
Think of like the death row, the death row records. Lineup shot. Yeah, that would be pretty cool.
I can't wait.
I would wear that shirt.
I can't wait.
It's coming soon to the shop. Watch for it in the near
future. We got a shop now?
We've always had one.
What is currently in shop?
I don't think we've received an order in years. In fact, all the designs are pretty old at this point. So
okay.
Not really relevant. We probably should take them down. Yeah.
I mean, okay.
We won't be getting your N'Golo Kante shirt in there anytime soon, it sounds like.
Yeah. I think this is made by the club. I don't know.
Yeah.
So we're recording on Monday night because yesterday was the Super Bowl.
The world's worst Super Bowl?
It was the worst Super Bowl I've ever watched in my life.
It was pretty bad. Lowest scoring one ever. We know that much.
Longest wait for the first touchdown in Super Bowl history.
It had the longest punt in Super Bowl history.
Well, there you go. There's something.
That's the extent of my football knowledge. When I get on to the Super Bowl portion of my life, neither of us went to parties last night. I noticed.
No,
that.
I ended up going.
Good for you. You're cooler than
me. I was invited to like 2. I went to one of them because it's hard to go to multiple.
I did not get invited to any. My kids were also sick. That doesn't help things either.
Gross.
So yeah. But the reason I bring this up is, you don't want to be that person that's like, "Ooh, I don't like the football or the NFL."
Like even this. If you don't like it, like you still, it's part of Americana.
I still watch it, but I do have to feel like I need to get my tweets in to kind of express that like football's not really my thing. I don't know why I feel the need to do that.
I think people gather it by following you just in general and going like, "Hey, haven't seen his thoughts on us. You know how Sam Darnold's doing with the Jets."
Yeah, I don't. My takes on the footballs aren't very strong, but what I really dig, and I was tweeting about this last night, is I love to see what the kickers are actually wearing for their boots.
Oh, sure. Okay.
Because they're always wearing soccer shoes.
Yeah.
And both of the main kickers involved in the story, in the plot lines last night, were actually wearing the same model of shoe, which I thought was kind of cool. So
what do they go with?
They're wearing Nike Tiempos.
Okay.
Yeah. So, there was that. But that, for me, that was literally the highlight because it was a absolutely atrocious game. Everything about it was awful as well.
Yeah. So. It was just all around not good at all. It's kind of almost like, you know, we always talk about this with the big matches in the Premier League, right? Like, so many times the big marquee matchup, the big marquee derby is a bit of a letdown.
Oh, yeah.
This was kind of like...
all overhyped.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, this is going to be such a grand affair.
It wasn't.
It was definitely not.
Yeah, it was bad. And I don't know, like, so you and I are pretty similar, though. Like, I've kind of come around to, like, where I just don't watch, like, the NFL during the year.
Like, you were really into the NFL for, you know, like the average American would be.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm still a diehard Packers fan.
And I'm not saying that judgingly. If you're into the NFL, you know, do your thing.
Sure, sure, sure.
Yeah.
But, like, now I'm kind of where you're at, where, like, the Super Bowl is, like, this restaurant you eat at, like, once a year. Like, it's just this experience. You're like, hey, we're going to do that once a year. Can't wait. I'm just going to enjoy it. It's going to be fun. But like, so like, I literally like went away like last night, like just feeling like I just like not satisfied.
Like I didn't get my money's worth, my $0 worth. Like, oh man, I wonder if that good chef left.
Like I came for a Super Bowl and I felt like I ate like a preseason game instead.
You went to Applebee's.
My belly was wanting so much more.
Yeah. Well, if nothing else, I feel like everyone else is probably on the same page
as us. Yeah. Unless you're like a big Maroon 5 fan.
Do those people exist?
Apparently. I don't know if you've heard. They sell a few albums.
They've had some catchy tunes here and there.
See, that's the thing. Like, they have like catchy tunes, which catchy tunes doesn't translate to like, hey, you can put it on an arena show.
Yeah, probably not.
In a gigantic stadium.
I'll admit, I went to a really great show of theirs back when their first album was just coming out. Like, literally, just coming out. It was actually up in Milwaukee for a wedding.
Whoa. Where was it at?
Somewhere right, like, on the University of Milwaukee campus. It was, like, right in that general area.
Okay.
So I got dropped off. I literally lucked into the tickets while I was there. There's nothing going on.
Was that the casino, was it? Was that
no, it wasn't at the casino. It was, like, a little kind of small venue, kind of like Bogart's here.
Okay. Sure, I think I might know which one you're talking about. I forget the name of it. I've been to it once to see actual band.
Yeah.
Fun band. Saw Motion City soundtrack there.
Anyway, I saw them perform, came across it, went there with a girl that was on the other side of the wedding that I was there for, and had a great time.
It's hot.
She was kind of hot. It's a story for another podcast. That said, it was a mildly enjoyable show. Like I had a really good time, to be perfectly honest. And I thought they put on a decent show, but it was not the one that we saw last night.
No.
That's certain.
It was trash.
We were like 8 minutes into this podcast and we're only talking about the NFL so far. Should we make a soccer tie-in here real
quick? Yeah, sure. Let's figure this out.
Let's give this a soccer tie-in. Where this game was played, Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta, is where MLS Cup was played a couple months ago.
Yeah.
And if you weren't on Twitter last night or haven't been since then, you would have missed the fact that everyone on soccer Twitter was talking about the fact that MLS Cup outdrew the Super Bowl almost by 3,000 people.
Now, obviously, there's some reasons for this, right? There's
lots of reasons.
They don't use all the seats for the Super Bowl because of
they have to move
a giant M-shaped stage in and out.
Yeah, there's that. You'll have additional camera angles, which will gobble up some of them as well.
Studio platforms for all the on-site studio shows will take up stuff. And then just the general fact that, like, I think the cheapest ticket was, like a couple grand.
Yeah. Yeah. Whereas you could probably score them for, like, 40, 50 bucks or something like that. And never mind that there was, like, a home side involved in an MLS final, which...
that might... contribute
might play a part in it too. So I think there are a lot of things that you can draw lines under to be like, hey, we're a little bit comparing apples to oranges here.
It's but you can still make like the comparison of like, hey, MLS had their big show here, and it also was essentially a sellout.
Yeah,
that's good, right?
And it's great. I threw this out. This is our question of the week. Probably the earliest the question of the week's ever been debuted in the show.
Uh-huh.
Haven't even done the damn fantasy update yet. But we did a poll on this one to see how everyone felt about this. Was this kind of a watershed moment or not? Because a lot of people were trying to make it into that potentially last night. It felt like 14% of people thought that it was a good thing for MLS more than it was anything else.
Okay. I think in a general sense,
it's a good thing.
It's a good thing.
Yeah.
It's a good thing. Regardless of what the NFL Super Bowl numbers were.
Yeah.
Just the fact that they got 73 for their...
Oh, it's fantastic. Yeah, 4% of the respondents said this was mostly a bad thing for the NFL.
I think the NFL is going to be more worried about like their general like TV ratings in decline.
Yeah, lowest TV ratings in a decade, it sounds like.
Yeah.
35% of the response, pretty strong one here, said apples to oranges, but it's a useful metric, right? So there's value to be derived from the fact that MLS got the number that it did and the NFL got the number that it did, but maybe we shouldn't be, you know.
It's not the direct correlation that we all want it to be.
Certainly not. And then 47% taking the winner here, meaningless talking point.
Sweet. Well, and here we are talking about it.
Yeah, and here we are. 78 votes. Thanks to everyone for participating in that one. So, MLS trumpet winning the stands against the Super Bowl.
Well, let's take one meaningless talking point for another. Ooh. Let's get that fantasy update.
Everyone has been waiting for a fantasy update, especially this one, since not only did you and I both move positively this week.
Okay.
Yeah, that happened.
I'm stunned. Considering, yeah. I'm pretty sure I'm still captaining a man who's out till March.
Well, that might be the case. But you improved 13 places to 89th, well into page two. So welcome back into the non-nether regions. I improved two places to 50th. So okay. I'm back onto page one myself. And we have a new leader this week.
Okay.
10 shows, a dethroning.
But you already unveiled on Twitter that it's not our good buddy Jay Slack.
It's not Jay Slack. Deserving man he might be.
A good man.
Yeah, it was Mark Gruenbacher's FC Soccer City United. Sounds like an MLS team name that you made up.
Yeah.
So congrats to Mark. He is now sitting on top of the table. Let's see if Jonathan Gill's Gildo Atletico will regain their spot next week. Let's get into the actual football, since we've been talking about NFL football.
Let's and do
fantasy
it.
Football.
And no better place to start than Chelsea dying an absolute death at the Vitality Stadium.
It says a lot about you that that's where you wanted to start with all this.
Hey.
It's the best place you can think to start.
Yeah. I embrace the suck.
Oh, bring it on. Suck Chelsea did. Bournemouth? Really?
So, crazy, like, 1 year and a and or yeah 1 year before so end of January 2018
okay
they went to Bournemouth and they lost 3-0.
Ooh.
This year they go to Bournemouth and they lose 4-0, their worst defeat since 2009. And a lot of people are kind of pointing to 2009 like, oh, it's happening again. That was the Scolari year.
Oh, yeah.
Or almost year.
Yeah.
Because in that plot line, the manager did not make it to, I think he got sacked, what, like the second or third week of February. They were actually even in a better place. They were a point better and in third place.
Yeah.
At this point.
That's what I was going to point out.
So Sarri and Scolari have similar paths. We got about 14 more days of the Sarri era.
Man. And this, not too long after you were just talking about really wanting to see some continuity with this Chelsea side.
Look, I mean, I don't care. Like, Sarri's not my guy, but I just need him to be my guy. Because I just want to break the cycle of just canning managers every year.
Yeah. We see the sides that tend to do the best don't do that.
I mean, it hasn't totally crippled us. We've still managed to win, you know, a lot of trophies.
A lot more than my very stable managed side.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've won about like 13 over the past like handful of years.
It's 13 more than Spurs. Yeah. So. Yeah, don't take my advice as dogma at all here in that respect.
Can we get Conte back?
This would, yeah.
Like I said, I will take that today.
Now that,
especially since we're selling Willian anyways, who seems to be the head of the of the Conte out party within the locker room.
Well, Sarri got in his man for this game.
He did. He got Higuain to make his second appearance for Chelsea, his first Premier League appearance, and like most of Chelsea's attack, fairly anonymous in this match.
Yeah, did not go well for him on that front. So, be interesting to see if Sarri gets his man in and then gets the can not too long afterward. Let's jump ahead of the weekend real quickly. Because
But there is one little nugget to that, though, about people he did get in. One person he did not get in to this match, Callum Hudson-Odoi, left on the bench in this disaster of a match.
Ooh.
Did not make an appearance.
Interesting. Chelsea do redeem themselves, obviously, this weekend itself.
Yeah.
This was the midweek match we were talking about with the Bournemouth defeat. They went and ran right on Huddersfield. Higuain getting two in that one.
Yeah.
Feels a little bit better, I would assume.
Much better.
Is that a race to the negativity of the midweek loss? Do we feel like the sorry train's chugging along a little bit better after that?
It was Huddersfield at home. I said this to the guys at work. I was like, man, we could not have a better time for this match to appear on our calendar.
No.
Nothing gets you in the right direction like Huddersfield at home.
Punching bag.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they were.
So Chelsea, up and down week for the Blues. Let's go back to the midweek where things remained, I would say, slightly crazy. Because the Chelsea match was just a sign of things to come.
Like, wow. Wow, Chelsea really screwed that up.
Yeah. Let's go higher up the table. In fact, to nearly the top, Manchester City losing 2-1 to Newcastle, a result that I think most people would say nobody really saw coming at all.
No, if you were going to say who's going to undo City,
mm-hmm.
Newcastle's, I think maybe the 18th person team I would list in that.
Yeah, quite a few Liverpool fans rooting for Newcastle that week. Love the fact that when Newcastle was able to pull that off, all of the people singing Rafa Benitez, always a red, just really enjoyed watching them toil on that thought process for a little while, because he was a little bit demonized there towards the end as well. So, but he did deliver.
Just started like tweeting just a bunch of pictures of him hoisting the Europa Cup with Chelsea.
Maybe a little bit of a blue too, huh?
Rafa Benitez, he's one of our own.
Yeah. But City continuing some struggles on their end, not necessarily the type of result they were looking for as they chase after Liverpool, especially when they knew going in that Liverpool had also dropped points.
Yeah. So they draw against Southampton?
That was Leicester.
Leicester, that's right. They draw against Leicester at the midweek. A bit of a stumble.
Mm-hmm.
And then today, Monday, they do it again. Yeah. Where they draw to West Ham. Actually, a game in which the one goal they scored was well offside.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow, actually, if you look at the replay, the linesman is like way out of position on this one.
Yeah.
So he just lets it go.
Yeah, there was a moment.
He lets the play go.
Earlier in this match, too, where the linesman actually tripped and it potentially impacted a play in that respect as well. So Liverpool have had quite a few of those goals this year that have been what seemed like gifts in certain respects, where like this one overlooked, clearly offside. Quite a few Mo Salah phantom penalties that were in the mix as well.
Absolutely. So the matches that the title winners win, I always kind of throw out there.
Yeah. Look, Liverpool for years claimed that there was like a Fergie favoritism that existed within the refereeing ranks. It's kind of fun watching like that spoon turn around and get slapped on their hand a few times, and how much they're all squirming in the process. Like, oh, this can't actually be the case. Like, we've been on the losing end of this for so long. Well, now this is what it looks like.
And so City play again before the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
For some odd reason, they are playing the match that they're supposed to play the weekend of the League Cup final.
Yeah.
They're playing it well before that date,
mm-hmm.
instead of like after.
Yeah.
So they're playing that on Thursday. I believe that's against Brighton.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it's a home match.
Yeah.
Even if it's not, that's 3 points in the bag.
Yeah.
And on goal differential, City has a very good chance of going into the weekend at the top of the table.
Yeah, that could very well happen. And the reason why that's the case is Manchester City did rebound and get a very big result of their own this weekend, hosting Arsenal, rejuvenated Arsenal, or so we've been told.
Yeah.
The Gunners come in confidently into this match, I would say.
A lot of the teams at the top stayed pat.
Mm-hmm.
They were one of the ones that made move.
They brought in Suarez from Barcelona.
Not that one. No.
If you thought it was going to be the chomper, you bit.
No. Instead, it looks like if Aaron Ramsey was a Spanish guy.
Mm-hmm. Just Spanish Aaron Ramsey.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also rhymes with Suarez. That said, Arsenal getting pounded by City at the weekend. City, for as dodgy and kind of shaky as they've looked of late, they've kind of had this really patchy run of form. they were utterly impressive in this game. The second goal in particular.
Well, both matches this week they scored within like the opening like 20 to 40 seconds.
Yeah, especially in that Newcastle match. You're like, oh man, this one's done and buttered like, already.
Yeah, we're done.
Newcastle obviously fought
23
back.
Seconds in, you're screwed.
But it was Aguero who opened up the scoring, capitalizing on a mistake by Iwobi in the box, trying to dribble out of the back for some unknown reason in the opening minute of the match.
Good choice.
But the second goal in this one was just beautifully set up. City look to have found their feet again, but we'll have to see if they can continue on with this the more impressive form that we'd expect of them.
The other team making – so, by the way, that weekend loss – Arsenal getting a win against Cardiff midweek.
Yep.
They fall. So they get the win because of Chelsea's misfortune, especially in the fact of how many goals they gave up.
Yeah.
Killing that goal differential. Arsenal were vaulted into fourth place.
Temporarily.
Heading into the weekend.
Temporarily.
They now find themselves, thanks to this loss and obviously the results around them, in sixth. Which not only means that Chelsea is back and forth, but the more underlining problem that Arsenal and Chelsea and Tottenham almost to an extent have is like Omar's coming. Like,
yeah.
This is right out of the wire. Like, there's nothing you can do about this.
No.
Manchester United is riding this crazy heater, and they're coming. And they are slowly marching their way up, and they have now made it into fifth place.
Yeah. This is a team that not long ago we were joking about them potentially getting back into the top four. And 10 games into the Ole Gunnar Solskjaer era, they're still an unbeaten side.
Yep.
9 wins, 1 draw. That draw came in the midweek, and
they had to pull this one out of their butts.
It was one of those we haven't seen. And I said, I think I tweeted this out. It feels like we haven't seen any of those, like, United yanking one out of their rear end at, like, the very last gasp
and
of the match.
Here it is.
Since the Fergie era. I know there have been a few since then that I'm overlooking. But this felt like the first Fergie time victory since
because,
Fergie time.
Because literally up until the last few minutes of the match, like, United just looked like they just had – they were just – a disaster. They just couldn't figure it out. It just wasn't going to be their day.
Yeah.
Everything wasn't falling for them. Like, they just couldn't
sloppy.
Get a break.
It was the first game where they looked sloppy.
Oh, absolutely.
2-0 down to Burnley before they found their way back literally in the last minutes of this game. And then they make their way to the weekend where they would travel to Leicester City. And they get a very well-fought 1-0 victory.
Yeah.
Nice
little goal in this one. Pogba just flicking the ball over the back line. Rashford being on the other end to connect and just home free at that point.
Speaking of things that I tweeted out, Rashford, he's getting lots of praise lately, but still feels really underrated.
Like, yeah.
Kane obviously getting the plaudits as England's the top striker, and I think that he still is. But Rashford isn't far behind him. And the youth that he has and the versatility that he has – I think he really, really is a special talent, and I think United could have themselves the forward that they so desperately crave, and they just need to let that light shine a little bit more.
Absolutely.
So United continue this march up, 10 games unbeaten. I don't know, you mentioned a minute ago, obviously Arsenal and Chelsea are kind of in the crosshairs at the moment.
Right.
Spurs keep, and we'll get to them in a minute, but they keep being talked about in this – are they fighting for the title sense? But
sure.
I'm with you. Like, I'm looking in the rear view mirror and going, I'm worried about them.
Like, they just keep slowly moving closer and closer.
Yeah.
And they don't look like they're going to stop. I mean, this was that midweek one was like, oh, well, here it is. Here's their undoing. And it doesn't happen. They end up pulling a point out of the bag. They get the win at the weekend. And it is working out to perfection for them. I forget who they play at the weekend. It's someone they are going to beat. Chelsea plays City at the Etihad. Fourth place will be United by Monday.
Yeah, it seems pretty likely. Seems yeah. pretty likely.
Yeah.
It wasn't all that long ago that you guys were in the title race, huh?
Well, you know.
Those are how those things go.
That happens.
Let's talk quickly about that Spurs side that keep getting thrust into this title race discussion. I am still not having much of it, but Tottenham this week getting two wins that they needed and coming at this horrible time as far as injuries go. Everyone was talking Harry Kane was in the news all week long,
right?
Because he was at the Super Bowl and in the Bahamas or wherever the rich living people spend all their awesome time. Spurs.
Turks and Caicos.
Sounds like it.
Dubai.
Yeah.
By the way, Willian went to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Which was crazier considering he actually like played on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And then somehow made it to the Super Bowl in time.
It's a whole day.
And also just had like pretty standard seats. Like he was not in some kind of VIP booth.
Oh, no.
Like Harry Kane was like, I think Harry Kane was like a guest of the Patriots.
Yeah, pretty much.
Willian was a guest of like, I bought tickets.
Well,
he was just sitting with just there was some like couple from like some dive of a town in Massachusetts that were obnoxious and idiots, and they were sitting next to Willian
where do you think that they thought he was from?
Because
Brazil is definitely not the answer.
No, they probably thought he was like.
So definitely an African country,
yeah.
For sure. I'm going to guess Zimbabwe. Just feels right. The Afro would push them that direction.
Yeah, though they probably had some unpure thoughts about the person sitting next to him.
Yeah, probably. Probably so. But Spurs getting these very crucial 6 points during a period where a lot of people suspected that they wouldn't. And look, if you watch these games, it looked like Spurs weren't going to get these 6 points through large chunks of it either. So, I don't think that we're in the title fight. I'm also nervous about what's behind us. But if we can keep picking up points like this...
You guys have cheated death this entire time.
Yeah.
You should have. I think everyone expected you guys, even though it's been a relatively easy run as far as the opponents...
Mm-hmm.
Just how thin you were, the fact that you were, for most of the stretch, having to rely on Llorente to provide your goals, which,
yeah,
as much as he was very hateable during this time, he actually did.
Yeah, he's converted on a couple chances.
Like, not only just, like, goals, like, winners.
Yeah, you got the winner against Watford. Was pretty influential in play this weekend as well. It's a good sign that he's actually contributing.
Yeah. Look, I mean, your only blemish is the semifinal against Chelsea. This entire stretch of we don't have any players.
And we barely lost that.
Yeah, and that just went to pens.
Well, the FA Cup knockout as well.
Yeah, that sucked. Forgot about that part. Yeah,
the Crystal Palace.
Thanks for reminding me. Yeah, you guys really screwed that one up.
I'm here to bring out our worst side. But that said, given how threadbare the squad is, I mean, Chelsea just barely beat us.
Yeah.
Palace pushes to the max, but it wasn't like they blew us out. So Spurs are doing things that I wouldn't expect for them to do. And all the meanwhile of worrying about losing our manager at the same time too. So it's a nervy run right now as a Tottenham fan, but we continue to chug along. One that I definitely do want to touch on is the fact that Cardiff hosted their first match since the whole Emiliano Sala situation. A really kind of an emotional affair, as you would expect the case to be. Cardiff getting a really big 2-0 win over Bournemouth raises them nearly out of the relegation zone. I just can't even dispute how – we talked about this last week, how the Salah situation could be so impactful for this club.
Right, from a negative standpoint.
Yeah.
From the fact that this was a guy that was supposed to be kind of – come in and be their savior from an offensive standpoint. They needed goals. They needed some way to punch their way out of relegation.
But what I really thought was cool about this was not only the emotion of the situation, and Cardiff really put on quite the show for this. And you know, seeing a guy like a prickly kind of ornery guy like Neil Warnock like tearing up, and not only during the game and the moment of silence, but also in the post-match presser talking about
it. Because he's like an old-school Brit where it's like emotion is for cowards.
Yes. So that was weird enough. But what I really thought was cool was how he was like, Emiliano gave us a lift today.
Yeah,
and that's cool. It was a really like, you don't think about a player that's dead.
Again, this is a player that like none of these guys on the team probably ever even met.
I mean, if they did briefly.
I mean, he showed up to sign, take the old, you know, the picture with the kit.
Mm-hmm.
And then like that was it. So like that probably like half day that he was in Cardiff
was all
at the training grounds was his only experience there.
And so I think it's so cool that a player can have that impact.
Mm-hmm.
Even in the afterlife, like that, to me, that's a thing you don't see very often in sport. And I thought that was a really
perceptive thing
for Warnock to pick up on.
Cool moment, yeah.
So let's get beyond this and to transfers that actually did pay dividends potentially for their clubs. The transfer window is now closed. It's been slammed shut. I'm tired of people saying it's slammed shut.
It's slammed shut.
Nothing about it slammed. It literally just closes at the
and
time that
it's closed. Well, not only does it like not slam, it closes and then it's like, yeah, it's closed. But you know, things still might happen.
Yeah.
Because of you know the way things were filed in time. Yeah.
We did get a close to the window. Much has been the trend for the last few Januaries. It was pretty ho hum.
Yeah. At what point does Sky Sports like just go like, yeah.
Never.
Guys, we'll keep an eye on it.
Sky Sports is going to start putting their own dildos in people's ears at this point, just for the news. But we got the full Sky Sports treatment
this year,
which was great. I'm all for it. It makes the situation seem more absurd, though, given how quiet it was and the fact that Sky have like a 35-foot-long screen that they stand in front of when they do this thing.
What was your favorite? I don't know how much of the broadcast you watched.
I watched a lot of it.
There's one moment that sticks out as the greatest.
I have a
moment.
Feeling. Go ahead.
The presenter was like introduced the fact that like, hey, the pizza has shown up.
Yes.
Here at the at the offices, and you guessed it, Big Sam has already found him.
Literally,
and then they cut to Sam Allardyce like standing there between like a bunch of cubicles with some like a pizza box. Like, hey, awesome.
Literally love.
There was also like another moment where. They were like, and we got some news coming out of Tottenham. And then they throw it to the guy, like, is it of a transfer? And the guy's like, no.
No, it is not.
No.
Anytime they flashed Spurs, it was just of a player leaving Spurs on loan.
Yeah.
So that was fun.
Big as a kudu.
Yeah.
Bye.
See a guy. Yeah, it was just a. We're always going to be spoon fed. This thing.
Sure. But we didn't technically get nothing.
Okay.
There were a handful of transfers, a handful of names that are fairly big names, but not going to big clubs, and in some cases not staying within the Premier League. It was outgoing.
Sure.
But the weird thing was, for the first time ever, I would say, the top transfer news was about an unknown coming from this crazy Major League Soccer.
This unknown land.
Yeah.
Of misfit toys.
Right.
That is Major League Soccer.
The best was all the punditry around this, around Miguel Almirón leaving Atlanta United for Newcastle United for a crazy record fee as far as MLS incoming dollars go. No one had ever heard of this guy. Like, all the people paid to know about soccer at Sky were like, yeah, we don't really know much about him, so it'll probably suck.
Record fee, but he's an unknown.
He's an unknown.
Except for literally.
Sounds like you should probably do some research.
Yeah.
Sounds like you should probably, I don't know, call somebody.
There's some people over here that would know anything you could have picked up.
Call any of the guys that work for NBC Sports. Call any of the guys that work for ESPN over here.
You don't even have to call. You could literally run a Google search on Miguel Almirón, and there would be a ton of English language articles describing what his value and benefits are.
Highlight reels.
It's not like he's coming from a Spanish language country and like Miguel Delaney is like, nah, I can't read Spanish.
Yeah, can't be bothered by this.
Not going to do that. It was literally a case of, I'm not even going to bother to try to even find anything out. It was ridiculous. But this was like it was a window, and I'm looking through this. I'm kind of leafing through the biggest transfers. Like, MLS and American soccer were like central to a lot of went down in this particular window. So obviously we're talking about an MLS transfer here.
Right.
Miguel Almirón going to Newcastle for a record fee.
Yeah.
By the way, their previous record fee was Michael Owen, to give you an idea of how long ago that happened. But Christian Pulisic, still the big, he was the biggest signing of the window by dollar amount.
Right. That was a good amount of them.
That's still, I was kind of like, I'll be intrigued to see if anyone tops it. And no one did. And to me, that is a kind of a watershed moment in American soccer.
Yeah.
We had the biggest fucking transfer of the transfer window.
Yeah.
That would have been impossible to me if you told me that in the summer. I've been like, there's no way Christian Pulisic is going to be the biggest January transfer number.
It happened.
Oh, that's cool. That's kind of cool. That is cool.
It's real.
That's cool. That's way cooler than the Super Bowl getting beat out by MLS Cup final.
Yeah.
Like, if you're looking for a soccer metric that changed things a little bit, I think that could be one of them.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
And, until that price tag around his neck drags him down, of course. But I'll be that guy.
Other moves. Mm-hmm. Other moves. Fellaini.
Mm-hmm.
The Fellaini era at United and the Premier League for the moment is over.
Are you sad about it?
No.
Nor am I.
He goes to China. Mm-hmm. So we'll see him in like a year once those checks start bouncing or something like that.
He just went to China. There wasn't a specific team. He
just
went.
Just checking it out.
The country of China purchased Marino Fellaini.
Good luck.
Yeah. Enjoy the stay.
Peter Crouch going to Burnley.
My favorite transfer.
38-year-old Peter Crouch. Burnley said, hey, we got a fight on our hands.
Social media.
Who's going to help us out?
Social media influencer Peter Crouch. He's had two goals this season in the championship. So if you're
was he with Stoke?
He's still with Stoke.
Okay. Yeah.
So I was shocked to know that he was still playing. That guy weighs 165 pounds.
Yeah.
That just blows my mind. He's 38 years old, 9.5 feet tall, and 165 pounds.
Yeah. Reed thin.
Back in it once again.
Batshuayi.
Yeah.
Having his loan terminated by Valencia or whatever. I don't. Finds himself at Crystal Palace. This was a last minute deal, it looks like, that happened. Batshuayi was like the hot property for teams that just wanted another striker to either help them survive or just for sheer numbers. Spurs, Everton, I want to say West Ham or someone else might have been in, and then all of a sudden Crystal Palace out of nowhere comes in and makes it happen.
I heard that Spurs were actually crazy interested, but that Chelsea nixed it.
Yeah, they didn't want. That makes sense, right?
Chelsea also, I was looking at this.
We are not in the business of helping you guys.
Palace? No, you're not. Palace literally will play Spurs, Arsenal, and Manchester United before the end of the season.
This is amazing.
Tell me that's not a strategic play by Chelsea. Like, hey, let's see if this guy can help pip some points off these guys.
I love it.
If that's their reasoning, it's brilliant. We'll never know.
Secret agent, man.
But that is
Batman.
The Batman going in underneath. That's just
Crystal Palace had the sweet like bat signal going out
on their
Twitter.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Yeah.
By the way, the Crouch reveal by
with the robot,
the toy robot, was just fantastic as well.
Playing to his old one of his many famous celebrations.
His most.
It was also the chicken dance one.
Yeah, the chicken dance one was great as well. Look, there is literally no downside of Peter Crouch coming to the Premier League. Like, I hook him up to my veins. I'm for it all the time, anytime.
He had some good years there for Spurs.
He had some good years for lots of people.
Yeah.
He's played for like half the teams in the league at this point.
You wonder if the Premier League was like Major League Baseball, where they had like their own Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
And then there'd always be debates of like, what jersey does he go in? Does he go in as a Spurs player? Does he go in as a Stoke player?
I would think that Crouch would probably go with the Spurs
shirt. I think he would.
Because that's where he played it as a youth as well. Yeah. So.
More, I guess, one of them, probably the most prestigious team he played for.
I don't know. He played for Liverpool at the time when they were a decent enough squad. Yeah. You know, that.
No, you're thinking of Andy Carroll. That's not the guy.
Just tall guys.
Tall guys.
Just a bunch of tall guys. Any other transfers tickle your fancy?
No. None of them did.
The only other one that I saw that I thought was just worthy of note, Christoph Piatek landed at AC Milan and then instantly scored two goals.
Yeah. Like, so he was the first domino in the Higuain, Morata.
That's right. Yeah, we mentioned him last week.
Yeah.
It's more the fact that he scored two goals like immediately that really caught my eye.
Instant impact.
So.
So we talked about the movie that did happen. Mm-hmm. Movie that didn't happen. City, Liverpool, Spurs, United, all hung tight this window.
At least as far as new faces.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Spurs seem like the one that's most likely to come back and bite. Like, you get why
City. What about Liverpool? You don't think Liverpool will bite?
But where were they really going to strengthen? Like, where?
Depth? I mean, I think there's still probably a call for depth, right?
But where do they, I mean, outside of up front. I mean, honestly, up front would be the only
I think having Salah play up top is eventually going to, I feel like that's eventually going to get found out.
Yeah, Bobby Firmino can't do it all on his own for
all
of the time. But yeah, let's. The lack of movement by the big sides was a little shocking. Spurs going two windows, by the way, with no signings. First time that's ever happened, at least during the Premier League era. So
crazy.
Hello, austerity.
How are you feeling?
Stadium austerity. It's great. It's the freaking best.
We get that NFL dollars though. Once you get that new stadium and you're letting the NFL
let 1,000 fans watch the Super Bowl final. From within the stadium as a test.
Would the game start like midnight over there?
Yeah. Something like that. That's the new thing over in England is to stay up late to watch the Super Bowl.
Guys, how pissed were you?
It had to have been awful.
That you stayed up to watch that turd sandwich.
Someone's convinced themselves it was a good idea.
There was a lot of...
they're wrong.
Adebayo Akinfenwa was at the Super Bowl.
Okay. Uh-huh.
He's actually a spokesperson for the NFL in the UK.
I mean, that's the least surprising thing ever. By body shape alone.
Yeah. I think that was purely how that was. You look like you would have played football had you been born in America.
But you weren't. We get it.
You weren't. You're now a crazy novelty striker for a League One side.
Good for you. Let's move beyond the transfer window. The national team... The men's national team, the U.S. men's national team, they played another game since we last talked. Obviously, we were pretty high on the Greg Berhalter era kicking off in extravagant fashion against crappy Panama. And they get a stiffer test this week out.
Is in with slightly less crap Costa Rica?
Yeah, Costa Rica are a decent team.
It was not their A-line.
We did not face their strongest team, that's for certain. But it was definitely a stiffer test for Berhalter's men than he faced against Panama. And I think a lot of people were kind of looking at this as like, all right, this will be a little bit more of a judgment call.
But is it though still like...
No, it's not.
Because we're still talking about our lineup being a bunch of guys that probably won't be seeing the pitch a whole lot in meaningful matches.
Yeah, potentially. I think there's room
for at least here guys. In the next like 2 years.
Potentially so. But we did see a nice 2-0 win over Costa Rica for the U.S. men's national team. Leaving it late in this one, substitute Sebastian Leggett getting the initial goal, and then Paul Areola of DC United getting the second one.
Scoring a goal and being flung into the air when it happened.
Yeah, that did happen.
He like he clipped a caper and went spiraling like that guy on the movie Titanic where he like fell and then hit the propeller and just.
Oh, I only literally I've never seen Titanic.
Oh man, you're missing out on a terrible movie.
I know. I will.
Have
I
you seen the Super Bowl? Like
yeah.
How it's like long and not good. Mm-hmm. The same thing.
Pretty much the same thing. I avoided seeing it one because I was like a angsty teenager that was trying to be different at the time, and two because I knew how the freaking movie ended. The boat sinks.
Oh.
So, but I have
spoiler
seen,
alerts.
Have seen that scene. So I think anyone who's seen like the trailer has seen that as well. But
yeah. I got his that propeller.
Yeah, he did kind of have that spinning little filter off the back of it. Yeah. But a decent win for Costa Rica. I think the thing that we really look to from this is some guys who kind of broke through in this camp. I think that's what you really want to look through out of January is like who
Lima.
Made an impact. So Lima, I think, is at the top of the list. Also, our young Polish friend from Chicago.
Don't look at me.
I'm trying to remember his name. I can't think of it all of a sudden. I'll be able to say it when I see it. What is his name? How's it spelled?
M-I-H-K.
Yeah, Mihai. Yeah, Jordy Mihailovic. Yeah. and also Jordy Mihailovic out of Chicago, who scored in the last match out. Wasn't quite as effective, but still loved just his timing of late runs into the box.
Yep.
His creativity on the ball. I really like what I saw out of him. I think those two kind of shone a little bit. There was also Lewis at a NYCFC who had the assist.
Mm-hmm. Both games, he came on and was just a nice spark.
He's really not getting any time at NYCFC, and it sounds like there's a door for him to get minutes with the national team if he can get a starting job. And it sounds like some MLS teams are in the hunt for a late deal. So
yeah.
Watch for that. But I think those are a few of the guys that really just made kind of impacts for themselves as a way of potentially getting callbacks that they may not have earned otherwise without good performances. So I enjoyed it, if nothing else.
We got to see an FC Cincinnati player play.
That's right. Not for the national team,
no.
Obviously, for Costa Rica. Alan Cruz was probably the first extended exposure anyone.
Tico Conte?
Is that the way you like him?
That's his nickname.
Is it really?
Yeah, that's straight up. That's his nickname.
How about that?
Tico Conte.
He was way more of a two-way player than I was expecting him to be.
Yeah.
I was kind of expecting him to be more of a traditional six, kind of sit in front of your back four. Mm-hmm. He's way more of an eight, box-to-box for sure. I wouldn't quite call him a creative player, and that's still what FCC's midfield is really looking for. But
to not have someone that can only be exclusively a six is also good because we have about 18 of those guys.
Yeah. So, but it was good to, you know, for a fan base that's starved to see all these new MLS faces. It was really good to kind of get to see a FCC player roll out there in that sense, and actually show well for himself as well. So,
yeah, I was at, I went to a bar or a brewery to watch this.
Yeah.
And there was actually a few people that showed up in FC Cincinnati gear, and it seemed like they were primarily there just to watch Cruz. Just to get their first little taste.
That's cool,
new guy.
Though,
yeah,
it?
No, that's awesome.
It's really cool. It's going to be a weird thing seeing like players regularly.
He kept like going down in this match, like getting knocked down in this match, mm-hmm. And I was like, kind of gripping, like, ah, oh, jeez, get up.
I feel weird rooting for a Costa Rican here. This is a little too much.
Don't hurt him.
Little
stop,
too much.
Stop hurting that guy.
Yeah. So that was enjoyable, but good start again for the Berhalter era. Two wins in a row.
And now matches of a little bit more significance coming up. I think they'll have their March friendlies, right?
Yeah.
And then Gold Cup.
I mean, that's right around the corner at this point, which...
So matches where we can probably do a much more realistic gauge of the Berhalter situation. Because he's going to have all the pieces that will be at his
disposal.
Yeah, let's go with that word.
There it is. They're sometimes difficult to find.
I'm going to finish this beer over here.
Yeah, that's right.
You just keep talking.
Number two took you a little too far down the road that you needed to go down there. Let's cap this one off with winners and wankers.
Okay.
Now that you've got your beer nearly done. Why don't you give me your winner?
Oh, I thought you said, why don't you just take that last sip?
Well, you can have that last sip.
There it goes. That was quite tasty.
Yeah, there you go.
My winner will be actually Arsenal.
Mm. Ooh, the whole club?
Oh, well, I don't know about the whole club, but...
parts of it.
Mainly whoever's in charge of the match day lineup cards.
Yeah, this was a good move.
Putting Emiliano Sala, his name on it during that midweek match against Cardiff.
Mm-hmm.
Putting him in the lineup, or not in the lineup, but on the roster sheets and the match day program.
Mm-hmm.
Really cool touch. Really nice class move by Arsenal.
Yeah, no squad number. They put a flower there in his name instead, which I thought was pretty cool too. So not one to often praise the Gunners, but we'll give him that one.
Absolutely.
Yeah. My winner this week, I'm going to the Turkish second division.
Okay, let's go.
Everyone's favorite league.
Absolutely.
I'm going to Alazigspor is the name of the team.
Okay.
I probably butchered it, but...
yeah, you took like a running start, so you should be fine.
Alazigspor. Feels right. Alazigspor won the transfer window by signing 22 players in 2 hours on transfer deadline.
How's that even work?
So they only had 2 hours to operate due to having a transfer ban imposed by the Turkish FA that they had to negotiate closed. So they had to get rid of the transfer ban. And then they then had to, in those 2 hours that it remained afterward, sign the 22 players that they needed.
Here's my question, though.
22
Why did they
players?
Wait till the deadline day to fight this?
Well, apparently they had been working on it.
Oh, okay.
And it finally came about.
So kind of like...
so
backhanded move by the Federation to be like, oh, we'll lift it, and now you only have 2 hours.
Sure. 13 players acquired on loan, 9 permanently. They also announced they fired their manager, so it was a pretty busy day for them.
Wow.
So
it's a lot of paperwork for HR to be doing that.
22 new players and firing the manager all in one day. So it's more
That's like an entire season of Sunderland Till I Die.
It's two hours. Incredible. I'm giving the winner just because the club came out on the other side of it, like still existing. So,
wow.
Congrats to them. The place should have burned down.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Fax machine was on fire.
They probably still were using a fax machine. Yes.
I can't imagine they're not. What about your wanker?
My wanker, once again, I feel like almost once a year we have this come up. Concussion protocol in the Premier League.
Mm.
Not so great.
It's not really a thing.
Midweek match, Chelsea, Bournemouth. You know the score, but you might want to let David Luiz know what it was, because he got concussed straight up by taking a point-blank shot to the head.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty early on in this one. Was down. Got treatment, I guess, or something.
Something like
Maybe
that.
Maybe they just sprayed him in the eyes with the magic spray. I don't know. And then he was back out there. And it was so alarming that one prominent Chelsea fan by the name of J.J. Watt of the Houston Texans kind of went to Twitter to say, like, this is insane that they are letting this man back onto the pitch when he clearly just got a concussion.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that ball knocked him out.
To be fair.
And then there he is wandering around again.
You can't tell very well a difference between David Luiz on and off a concussion.
As far as staying in position, no. He's always just kind of roaming.
David Luiz is your brain on drugs.
He made a run, like, it was like a week or two ago. He made like a run into the box. Like... as if like the ghost of Frank Lampard just like took over his body, and he was making that late run in just for like the ball to be just played across the box. He was just gonna hammer it in.
Put it into
missed him completely.
Rosie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing? You're the central. Why did you just
the concussion symptoms before the concussion actually happened?
Yeah.
Something like that.
That'd be my wanker. Your wanker.
My wanker. I'm giving mine actually to a triumvirate of teams, entities, all associated with each other. Not sure if you noticed the news this week about Andrew Gutman.
Oh, boy.
I'm giving the wanker itself, not to Andrew. He doesn't deserve any of this.
No, he's just a guy trying to...
To Major League Soccer, the Chicago Fire,
uh-huh.
and Nashville SC. All three of them are getting my wanker award okay. over this. If you haven't followed the storyline, Gutman is a University of Indiana standout. Mac Herman Trophy, did he win it? Was he a finalist?
Sure.
Yeah. One of the best players in college soccer in the country yep. last season.
Mm-hmm.
Chicago Fire own his homegrown rights.
Sure. Why is that? They own the whole state of Indiana?
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, that might be a turf war.
It's kind of a little bit. they own him through that respect, his rights, at least as Major League Soccer goes. They were shopping those rights on the regular, found no takers for them, at least at their asking price, and then returned to Andrew and offered him a basement deal. Yeah. Literally, lowest homegrown deal you could offer the guy.
Kind of the general deals that, like, dudes in, like, the...
You think this guy might be promising, but...
draft.
Yeah.
Like, but, hey, yeah, come try out for a team, basically.
Mm-hmm. And he declined that option, found himself an opportunity at Celtic in Scotland, and a great club to sign with, signed a deal with them, and had some issues procuring a green card, and so Celtic then loaned him to Nashville SC this week. Great grab for Nashville.
Nashville took, at that point, two
mm-hmm.
American Celtic youth, younger players
yeah,
on loan.
And, you know, everyone was honky-dory.
Yeah.
It seemed like a great deal for Nashville. They were kind of taking a page out of FCC's book, where they were kind of playing the MLS wild card into USL this year.
Sure, sure.
And then it was announced a couple days ago that Nashville would not be taking him on loan, basically at MLS behest.
Yeah, at the arm twisting of MLS.
First off, the reason for this is that Chicago owns his homegrown rights, his sure. rights for Major League Soccer. The problem here being is that Nashville aren't in Major League Soccer yet. That's next year.
Right. So they're really not beholden to any of that.
No.
Any of those homegrown rules and roster rules
no,
that go with MLS.
You get why Nashville want to play ball to an extent. They don't want to put themselves off on a bad foot in a league the year before they even get there.
Sure.
I understand that train of
but
logic.
But, like, I don't know, like, MLS, is MLS really going to just all of a sudden, like, not let them in?
No, they're not. Imagine being Nashville's lawyers and being like, oh, yeah, we're going to renege on our $150 million deal because you guys are enforcing a rule that doesn't cover a league that yeah. our client currently plays in.
I don't think that's going to work.
It would not work at all. So people have given me some flack on Twitter for calling Nashville out over this. They laid down over this.
Yeah, no, they did.
And you... Some of these more aggressive new MLS clubs, I'm not expecting Nashville to be in Atlanta by any stretch of the imagination, but Atlanta wouldn't take this laying down. They wouldn't have
right.
just rolled over for Major League Soccer. Nashville shouldn't have either, particularly because they're not even in that league. Like, this really bothers me. MLS is dictating the role of a player who they don't even have on the books.
Right. For a team that's also not really on the
books. He is not signed to a Major League Soccer contract in any capacity, and they are impacting his ability to find work. For me, that is wholly
just because Chicago wants to only offer the guy a crap deal.
And let's roll back around to Chicago now. I blamed MLS. I blamed Nashville. Let's talk about Chicago. This is Chicago.
Doing what they regularly do, which is suck as an organization.
Correct. There is no reason this organization should have shit the bed with this player so badly
right.
that he is now not allowed to work for a club that he had found gainful employment with that's not in their league.
And we don't know what the chain reaction was as far as like, hey, we got to stop this. But if Chicago had any involvement in going like, hey, we have the homegrown rights on this guy.
They totally
they can't
did.
Do it. That is so petty and anti-player.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
Like, I would say if I'm a member of that, like, if I'm on the roster of that team, mm-hmm. I'm sitting there going, like, wow.
I've heard through the chain that Nashville were not covering any of his salary, which I think perturbed some people in MLS circles to a certain extent. Celtic were covering his salary. The other thing that I think bothered Chicago in this circumstance is the fact that the loan was for a year. This is a loan deal too, which really bothers me more than anything. But this loan was for a year, which means there would have been an overlap period where Nashville were technically an MLS club and they would own his rights.
Okay.
And Chicago thought, they bristled at the thought of an off-season month going by where this player wasn't on their own books, despite the fact that they lowballed him. So this is just, the whole situation looks bad for all three parties. This is a good player that's going to get, it sounds like he's going to land in Charlotte by all accounts, a club that will not be moving up to MLS. So I guess that's okay then.
Yay!
But that really sucks for him because that's a wishy-washy organization in some respects too. So
very much so.
All that said, it's just an embarrassing situation on the whole for all three entities.
Well, embarrassment is a good way to leave it.
Mm-hmm.
That's all we got.
It is. If you want to get a hold of Jeremy, you know how to do it. He's at Jeremy Lance on Twitter. I'm at Wrong Side of Pond. You can find us online in all your favorite places. Leave us that favorite 5-star review that you haven't done yet. We need it.
Yeah. Say whatever you want, it just five stars.
That's literally the we're not looking for keywords here.
These guys are barely literate. 5 stars.
They talk about a sport that they don't know anything about.
Yeah.
5 stars.
I listened to a podcast from this week, and the first 10 minutes was about the Super Bowl. 5 stars.
That's all we care about.
That's all we want.
Just the 5 stars. Go and do it. Thanks, everyone.
Bye. Don't you ever back